welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we're in the second week of a message series titled Sharing God's Blessings. Sharing God's Blessings. One of the great joys of life is realizing that, you know, God has blessed us and then being able to share those blessings with others. There is great joy in sharing God's blessings. Last week we talked about the joy of God's saints, all those people, those holy ones that God has used to encourage and to build up our own faith. Remember, there are saints of old, and then there are saints who are more near. And we are grateful for all of them and the glory, and we glory in how they have shared God's blessings in so many ways with us. One of the perks of being a pastor is that I have the privilege of getting to know people. And it's been my joy over time, not just to, you know about people, but to get to know them, to get to know so many of you, to be invited to be in homes, to be invited to be in your lives. And it's been a joy to share, you know, various victories when we experience those, as well as times of struggle or defeat. Been great to share joys together as well as sorrows. Been great to celebrate life, and yes, sometimes to walk through the valley of death. These relationships, you know, have greatly enhanced my life. And I believe that it is this kind of a relational yearning that inspired Paul to write his letter to the Philippians. Though he faced great hardship and frustration being under house arrest in Rome, Paul wrote with great joy in his heart for the Philippians. He had spent time with them, he had gotten to know them, and then they in turn had been partners with him in spreading the gospel from early on. And then, you know, as they continued over the years, they kept in touch, and he was blessed as they continued to share their blessings with him, even as he was confined in Rome. That's one of the things that I so appreciate about our connection with Reverend Irina Mitina and the church in Russia. We have had this partnership, this connection in ministry, this friendship, if you will, that has spanned continents, has spanned oceans, and it's a joy when we can be together or we can celebrate together the things that God has done by way of our mutual partnership, our mutual prayer connections, our mutual sharing in the faith together. There's just something so special about it. Every time Irina gets to come, or if we have a way of going there, it is rich, it is special. It is a high time, a high moment. In this day and age, long-lasting friendships or long-lasting partnerships, long-lasting connections that we have, people with another, they are not easy to find. They are not easy to maintain as well. But in the long run, when we can do it, when it happens, when things come together like they can, it is wonderful. They are such a blessing, these long-lasting relationships, partnerships, ministry connections. I love how our local church helps all of us do that. I hope that, you know, you are making connections. You are making long-lasting, long-term friendships, the kind of friendships that, you know, are going to be there through the mountaintops as well as in the valleys. That is one of the powerful aspects of life together in the body of Christ. Such a blessing when we can make friendships, when we can make connections that last for a long time. Paul writes in Philippians 1, 3 through 5. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you, Philippians. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? joy because of your what? Partnership in the gospel from this first day, from the first day when we first met, and here we are all these years later until now. Paul was grateful. He was full of joy because of his partners, his friends in Christ, the Philippians. He had great joy in his heart because of them and for them. I hope that you all have great joy in your hearts for one another and the connections that you are making together in the body of Christ. He had a great heart and joy in his heart for the Philippians. Paul also had great joy in his heart for Jesus. It was his relationship with Jesus that had so drastically changed everything else in his life for good. That's why he mentioned joy some 16 times as he's writing to the Philippians. In some form, joy in some form, 16 times. In Philippians 3:1, he wrote, and let's read it together. My brothers and sisters, be full of joy in the Lord. Do you know what it is to be full of joy in the Lord? It happens in my life, you know, when I sometimes have to just call a timeout. I have to call a timeout. I have to step back. You know, we can get busy in circumstances, or we can get bogged down in things. And at times, I find my joy is ebbing. You've had those times? My joy is ebbing, Lord. My joy, where's my joy? And I have to sometimes have to call a timeout. And I have to be reminded of what Paul said. Brothers and sisters, be full of joy in the Lord. Another time in Philippians 4:4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. When I am discouraged or despairing about some circumstances in my life, I find that when I stop, call the timeout, when I back up a little bit away from the circumstances, and when I find in those moments the ability to look up and to rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice in the Lord, what I find, I'm not rejoicing in my circumstances. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, some circumstances, there ain't any joy in the circumstances at all. But it's the Lord. It's rejoicing in who He is. And Lord, I'm remembering what You have done for my life. And I remember Your promises. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. I remember that, you know, You've said You're going to be with me as I walk through the valley. You're going to be with me on the mountaintops as well as in the valleys. Lord, all of Your promises, I remember them. I'm rejoicing in those. What I find is, it's amazing how it just reframes my thoughts, reframes my perspective, my life, everything in just a few moments can be recalibrated, and I'm just a little bit better because I've said, I'm going to remember to rejoice. I'm going to remember to rejoice in the Lord and who He is in my life. In Christ, there is always new hope. There is always new life. New possibilities, new encouragements. My brothers and sisters, he says, be full in the joy of the Lord. Because of everything God was doing, Paul's relationship with Jesus became most important in his life. At one time, Paul had been a pretty impressive Pharisee, a religious leader in Israel. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, I was zealous for the laws. And as far as a persecutor of the church, man, I was all about that. When it came to legalistic righteousness, when it came to, you know, living by the rules of the law, he said, I was faultless. He was a leader of the pack among the Pharisees. Pretty impressive. But then he met Jesus. Then he encountered the risen Christ, and everything changed. All of his previous accolades, everything that he had experienced and accomplished up until that point, pretty much didn't matter, he says, anymore. He said, whatever was important to me back then is no longer important compared to what it means that now I have come to know Jesus. He said it like this in Philippians 3:8. He said, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them what? Rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Wow. Paul, Jesus Christ had become the most important person in Paul's life. Everything that he had experienced or he had accomplished as a Pharisee up to that point seemed like rubbish, like trash, like dung, worthless compared to knowing Christ. And why is that? Because in Christ, Paul had experienced righteousness from God through his faith in Jesus. He tried works of the law, you know, trying to earn his salvation. He knew what that was all about. And even though he said, when it comes to legalistic righteousness, even though he said, I was faultless in terms of playing by all the rules, yet in his own heart, like we all do, he still felt that he fell short. He knew that for all his efforts, he still was falling short. But Paul's relationship with Jesus gave him righteousness from God by faith. And this was completely different. It wasn't based on his performance. Instead, it was based on what Christ had done for him. He realized his righteousness was won for him from Jesus, through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. When Paul encountered the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, it turned his life upside down. But it also became the source of his greatest joy. He came to realize that Jesus had come to provide him righteousness from God, a right relationship with God through his sacrifice on the cross. The cross is what made it possible. He told the Philippians, I consider everything about my former life to be rubbish, that I might know Christ and be found in him. And he goes on, he says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the what? From the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by what? Faith. Jesus was the great joy in Paul's life, the most important relationship in his life because of the right relationship that he had with God by trusting in Jesus, by putting his faith in Jesus. The glory of the New Testament gospel is contained in those words. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. That was the source of Paul's great joy. That's what enabled him to rejoice even though he was confined under house arrest. His joy also compelled Paul to share his heart, to share God's blessing with the Philippians. He shared these amazing words, this cry of his heart with the Philippians in Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11. He said this. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of his what? Resurrection. And the fellowship of sharing in his what? Sufferings. Becoming like him in his death and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. What a powerful passage. What compelling words. I want us to look a little more closely at this cry, this cry that is bursting forth from Paul's heart. Paul said, I want to know Christ. Not just as a prophet of history, not even as just, you know, the Savior of the world. I want to know Christ as intimately as he can be known. I want to know Christ, yes, as Master, but I also want to know him as my friend. Do you know him like that? Christ as your friend? Do you want to know him like that? For Paul, encountering the risen Jesus was the watershed event of his life. After that, seeking to follow him and to know him became his primary mission. I am so grateful that God can take us from wherever it is that we're at, wherever we're at, or wherever we've been. He can take us from that place, from that past, and he is the one who can put us on a new road. He can send us down a new path. He is the God who can take us from where we've been, from where we're at, and he can change our circumstances. He can do what no one else can do. You may be here today and you may be wondering, or you may know somebody who is wondering if anything could be different from you, for you. And the truth is, God is the one. He is the one who sent his son Jesus to put you on a new path, to put you going down a new road if you choose to do it. Paul said, I want to know Christ. Paul said, I want to live like Christ in the power of his resurrection. Christ knew who he was. He understood who he was, where he'd come from, and what he'd been sent to do. The crowds wanted to make Jesus a king. And then the kings, they wanted to crush him out of existence. You know, he's trouble. We got to get rid of this guy. The majority of people ignored his birth. They passed by his death. But Jesus Christ, he knew who he was. He never hesitated to identify himself as the Son of God, as the Son of Man. Do you know who you are? Has the world been trying to squeeze you into some kind of a false identity? Are you trying to be all things to all people? What I find is if I slip into that, it doesn't work very well. All things to all people. Does the applause of the crowd, the pressure of people, persuade you to somehow think, I got to be somebody that I'm not? You've been down that road? I was down that road in adolescence for a long time, trying to be somebody I'm not. Wouldn't you like the freedom of knowing that you are a child of God? A child of God who... a God who has a purpose and who has a plan and who knows you, and he knows your identity and who it is that he wants you to be. Wouldn't you like to have the freedom of knowing that? That's what Christ wants for you. That's what Paul was wanting for all people when he said, I want to be one who knows Christ. Jesus Christ knew where he's going, why he was here, where he was headed. Do you? Yogi Berra, the immortal Yogi Berra, said this. He said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll likely wind up somewhere else. The great preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick once said, no life grows great until it is focused, dedicated, and disciplined. Do you know where you're going? Do you know your purpose in being here? Out on that Damascus road, when he encountered the living Christ, Paul found his purpose for living, his passion for being, his destiny of a mission that would shape every move that he made for the rest of his life. He said, I want to know Christ. Paul also said, I want to suffer like Christ by sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, I have never really suffered to be a Christian. There are some people who, however, who pay a price, a great price, to be a Christian. In some parts of the world, there is suffering involved in following Jesus. We've learned from Reverend Irina Mitina that the Methodists in Russia are suspect. They're considered a sect, a cult, and as such are regularly harassed and obvious and sometimes observed suspiciously. They are considered a sect. It's not easy to be in ministry as a Methodist Christian in Russia, but there are two of the girls that in partnership together, we are seeking to serve. We are seeking to reach out to these Roma children who are often neglected, and we're trying to provide them education. We're trying to provide them hope. We're trying to provide them new life in Christ. Not always easy in some parts of the world to be a Christian. But people throughout history who have found Christianity costly have also discovered that suffering for the faith is not a penalty. In fact, it's a privilege. It becomes a privilege. Paul said that he had had his share of suffering, and he wanted to learn to suffer like Christ suffered. I don't know what it is to suffer for being a Christian, but I do know what it is to suffer. I mean, maybe one day in our land we'll learn what it is to suffer as a Christian. As far as I've been living, I've not had to suffer the way some people have to suffer for being a Christ follower. But we know what it is to suffer. All of us have to deal with some level of pain. I do know that trouble can either make you bitter or it can make you better. I do know that it's not what happens to you, but it's what you decide. What happens, but what you do with what happens that makes the difference in the long run. I know that the stripes of Jesus and the nail prints of his hands are a source of great comfort for many suffering souls around the world. I want to take my suffering like Christ took his, seeing every way possible to find something redemptive about it. Don't ever let suffering or trouble go to waste. Paul says, I want to know Christ. The author Alan Patton said, I've never thought that Christians would be free of suffering, for our Lord suffered. And I have come to believe that he suffered not to save us from suffering, but to teach us how to bear our own suffering. For there is no life without suffering. Sometimes it's not always easy to hear these things. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Not to know some history about him. I want to know him the way I would know my closest friend. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to die like Christ. Become like him in his death. Henry Nouwen, in his book, Finding My Way Home, he tells a story about being rushed to the hospital as a result of a car accident one time. And he's lying there in the emergency room, and he hears the doctor say, you might not live long. There's a serious internal bleeding going on. We're going to try to operate, but we may not succeed. And he said, suddenly, death was right there in the room with me. I felt shock, but I also felt the embrace of God, which gently reminded me, don't be afraid. You are safe. I'm going to bring you home. You belong to me. I belong to you. He says, I was at peace. Later, when I woke up in the ICU, I was almost disappointed. What am I doing here? I wondered. I thought I was going home to be with Jesus. But then he writes, I knew that I would never face life the same way again, because that day I learned how to die. As Luke tells the story in Luke 23:44, it was about noon, and the whole earth became dark. It was total black outside, and it lasted for 3 hours, and the temple curtain was split in two, right down the middle. And about that time, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. I want to leave this world with that kind of confidence. I want to know Christ. Don't you? And finally, I want to rise like Christ by attaining the resurrection from the dead. Fanny Crosby, who lived to be 95, was blinded at 6 weeks of age from childhood from an illness. Fanny Crosby, who could see more in her blindness than most of us could comprehend with our eyesight. She never became bitter about her lot in life. In fact, if you know her name, she went on to write some 9,000 hymns, many of them that are familiar, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, and all kinds of them, lots of them that you would know. Fanny Crosby. Someone said to Fanny Crosby one day, how awful it was that you lost your sight at 6 weeks old, lived to be 95. She said, don't feel sorry for me. When I get to heaven, the first face that I'm going to see is the face of Jesus. Fanny Crosby is buried in Bridgeport, Connecticut. On her simple headstone are these immortal words, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You and I, we are on a pilgrimage that will only get better as the years go by, as we continue to walk with Christ. As surely as our birth ushered us into a better and brighter world, so our death will transport us into an eternal home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Because He has been raised, we can be raised. I want to know Christ. We are Christians, not because we are good, and not because we are nice, though hopefully I would hope that, you know, we are pretty decent folks when people meet us. We are Christians because we believe in God as God is made known in His Son, Jesus. To know Christ is to know God. And so with heart and soul and mind and life, let us determine with all that we've got to know Christ. And let us continue praising our Savior and following in His steps all the day long. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty God, loving Lord, we thank You for the many blessings that, yes, You have given us. You've blessed us so that we can be a blessing. We thank You for our family and our friends, for the love and the support that they provide. And we thank You for our friends in the body of Christ. These friendships, these relationships that we've developed provide us with encouragement and support, with love and community. They are so important, and they become so meaningful in our lives. Lord, we also thank You for our relationship with Jesus. He is the one whom You sent into the world that we might experience the gift of forgiveness, the joy of salvation, the promise of eternal life. It's His life, death, and resurrection that's made it possible for us to be declared righteous by You, Lord. Not because of what we've done, but wholly because of what He has done. As Son of God, as Son of Man, He's the perfect one who offered Himself up that we might not sin and be controlled by sin, but be set free. Like Paul of old, Lord, we're also learning that to know Christ is most important in our life. There's no other relationship quite like it, quite like what it means. Like Paul of old, we too want to know Christ. We want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. We want to know the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. We do want to become like Him in His death so that we too may experience the resurrection from the dead. Oh Lord, we thank You for the joy that we encounter in our relationship with Jesus. Help us to know Him in all His glory and splendor as we continue to praise Him, rejoice in Him, thank Him all the day long. In Jesus' precious name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen.